Well, thank you all for coming out tonight. It's good to see everybody. It's always good to be around saved people that love the Lord. Amen. We know that this world's a mess, but we know why these things are happening. Because Jesus is coming soon. He's right on time, and he's not going to be late. He's not going to be early. He's going to be on time, just like he came the first time. He came on time, and because that's because God knows what he's doing. You and I, we think we know what we're doing, and most times we don't. We mess up, but you know what? God always knows what he's doing, and God never messes up one time, and he never has, never will. So we praise God for that. But we certainly are getting close to the end, amen? Close to the end. One of my favorite messages I heard was a message called The End of the Rope. And, you know, we're down at the end of the rope. We're down at the end. And the Lord's going to say, just let your hands off and let go, and I'll catch you. And God is going to take his church home in what the Bible calls the rapture. In twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the Lord is going to come and take his people home. If you're saved tonight, and I believe we're all probably saved here tonight, usually Wednesday night prayer meeting, we are going to go and meet the Lord in the air, and as the Word of God says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that's the promise of God, because we are not going to come back, and we're not going to we're not going to come back and be like we are now. We are going to be different. We're going to be changed. We ain't going to have a sinful nature. We ain't going to think bad thoughts and do, you know, all the sins that we struggle with every day. When we come back, we'll never struggle with those things again, because we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. That is the Word of God. I don't just make a difference what people say or think. God said, this is the fact, that you are going to be like Christ. And I don't know about you, but that's what I'm waiting for. Because I am tired of me. I'm tired of me because I just mess up too much. But anyways, tonight I want to just go over some things quickly. I do have 7 points, but I'm going to give them to you very quickly. 7 points. Actually, it's just, there are points, but they're, I want to look at this thing in the Bible on the 7 different judgments of the Word of God. You know, there are many judgments in the Word of God, because God is a God that judges sin. And he puts up with it and lets it go, but finally, you know, God says, you know what, enough is enough. And judgment falls. And so we see a lot of judgments in the Bible, but there are 7. Tonight I will look at 7 major or main judgments that I believe every child of God should know, you should understand, because for one thing it's the Word of God, and for another thing it's the fact, it's the truth. And so let's just pray, and we'll ask God to show us these things tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your Word, and we thank you for the book that we have tonight. God, we know that it is your Word. It is not the word of man. It is your Word. And we know, God, it's perfect. Not only is it preserved, and we believe that, but we also believe, God, it is perfect. God, if there's any problem, it's not with the Word of God, it's with us. So I pray, God, you might help us to humble ourselves tonight, come before thee, and let the Word of God speak to our hearts and refresh our spirits and renew our minds, for we ask in Jesus' name, amen. So the first judgment I want to look at tonight is what the Bible calls the judgment against sin. It's the judgment against sin. Whose sin are we talking about? We're talking about our sin. You know, everyone is born into this world a sinner. Now, we know that's, a lot of people don't want to accept that fact, But that's what the Bible says. You know, when you go out and talk to people about the Lord or talk to somebody about the Lord, the most important thing that you try to do is you try to get across the fact that they're a sinner. And that's probably in your soul winning classes, that's probably something that Pastor Vaughn is trying to help you and understand. And I guess, you know, that's kind of the part that kind of takes a little bit of knowledge and instruction and practice and the Lord helping you to be able to take somebody and say, this is what the Bible says, you're a sinner. And get that person through, you know, the conviction of the Spirit of God to realize that they're a sinner. Because the Bible does say what all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there is a judgment that was against sin, our sin. And that judgment against our sin was at one place, and that was at Calvary. 33 AD, Christ went to the cross and took our judgment. And that's why we're saved tonight. We're saved because the judgment that we deserved and that we should have paid and the judgment that we should have gotten, it was put upon Christ. See, he had no sin in him, but he took our sin upon him. And that's the judgment. Remember the Lord in the garden, he said this prayer. He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. See, Christ wasn't worried about the pain and the suffering and all these. He was praying because he knew that the sin of the world was going to be placed on him. The perfect Lamb of God, the perfect man, the one who never sinned. And our sin was going to be placed upon him. And his prayer was that if it be possible, let this cup pass. But he said what? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So Christ was willing to take and drink of the cup of the wrath of God. And he did. He drank of the cup of the wrath of God. And I don't know, to really understand and comprehend something like that is, I don't know if we can understand and comprehend exactly all that Christ did. I mean, we know he died for us and our sins, but he drank of the cup of the wrath of God. For us, that cup that I deserve to drink, I should have drank that cup, right? And you should have drank that cup. But Christ drank the cup of the wrath of God for us, so that you wouldn't have to. Because if you drank of the cup of the wrath of God, it only meant one thing: that you would burn in a lake of fire with brimstone. That's what it meant. I'll show you what it means. Turn to the book of Revelations. I try to go slowly here so that we can look at the scriptures, because that's the most important thing tonight. It's not what I say. It's what God says. You can take or leave basically what I say, but you can't take or leave what God says. None of us. Because it is the truth. In Revelation 14, chapter 14, and verse number 10. Now this is the unsaved. These are people who have not accepted and not believed on Christ. Right? They worship. If you look at what's going on, you're in the tribulation. They're worshiping devils. And notice in verse 10 it says about these people. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into, what's that last, what's that? The cup. There's the cup. And that's the unsaved having, that's the unsaved saying, I don't want nothing to do with Christ. I want nothing to do with the Son of God. I want nothing to do with the death, burial, and resurrection. I want nothing to do with anything like that. And you see people all the time out there. The world is full of people that, and they're blatant it now. They're blatant. They just tell you, listen, I don't want nothing to do with the Lord. Well, if you want nothing to do with the Lord, then this is where you're going to find yourself. You are going to drink of the cup of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture. Because the bottom line is, either Christ is going to drink it for you, or you're going to drink it yourself. That's the bottom line. There's no plan C, you know, there's no other plan out of this thing. The only way out of eternal hell and damnation is to accept Christ, because he took the wrath of God for us. That is the blessing. So as a saved person, which I put you in the same place, as saved people, we stand before God, and we stand before him, not in the wrath of God, but we stand before him tonight in the righteousness of Christ. That's where we stand. That's our stand. That's where we are. So when God looks upon us, he doesn't look upon all our failures. He don't look upon all the things that we don't do. And listen, my brother and sister, there's plenty that we all don't do that we should do for the Lord. And I'm not minimizing those things. But when God looks upon us, what does he see? He sees the righteousness of Christ. That's what he sees. And he says, you know what? You know, the devil will say, hey, because the Bible calls the devil the accuser of the brethren, right? He'll say, hey, look at there. See what he's doing. See what he's saying. See where. And the Lord says, you know what? All I see is the righteousness of Christ. I see the righteousness of Christ. Because and if you're saved tonight, you know what? We are in Christ. We're in him. And I love when the scriptures tells us these things. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us. For us. Who knew no sin. Right? Jesus was the perfect man. He was the sinless one. The sinless man. The only sinless man. You say, well, what about Muhammad and Buddha and all these religious people, the popes and everybody? Where do they come in? They don't come in. They don't come in. Muhammad isn't even in the same field as Christ. He's not even close by. Jesus stands above all these religious people because it was no sin in him. Muhammad had sin. Buddha had sin. The popes have sin. Preachers and everyone has sin. Christ had no sin. And so what I'm saying is, he was able to be our sacrifice. You know, Jesus Christ was everything that we need. Everything. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I think verse 30, he says, for Christ has made out in us wisdom. How many need wisdom tonight? You tired of doing stupid things? I got two hands up. Christ has made unto us wisdom. Christ helps us not to do the stupid things that we would do. That's the bottom line. He's made unto us righteousness. He's made unto us sanctification. In your own power, you can't separate yourself from this world. But Christ can help you to separate yourself from this world. Amen. Say, well, it's hard for me. It's hard for me not to go to these places, and it's hard for me not to hang out with people who aren't. Are you looking to Christ to help you to live that separated life? He's the only one that can do it for you. So we have the judgment on sin at Calvary. Number two. And this judgment is basically for the believers. It's a self judgment. It's a self judgment. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You know, this is probably one of the hardest things to do. Can I get an amen? How isn't it hard to judge yourself? It's easy to judge somebody else, right? You know, man, if Nick only would have not, you know, if he would only do some things differently, God may just bless him, you know. Like he's blessing me, you know. Listen, that's foolishness. We need to judge ourselves. And because that is the word of God. You say, preacher, why do we need to judge ourselves? Very, very simple. So you and I can stay in fellowship with God. How it's not complicated, but I say, how important is that? How important is that? You know why we get out of fellowship with God? And it's not because of what somebody has done to us. Somebody hurt me, you know. Somebody didn't say hi to me. Some Christian didn't greet me at church, and so I'm not going back. And all these stupid, crazy, insignificant things. We get out of fellowship with God because we don't judge ourselves. We don't take our, you know, our fingers, and we don't put them on us. And yet that's the word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28, if you would please. It says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Talking about the Lord's Supper. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Right? That's that damnation is not a eternal. That's a temporal damnation. Sometimes the word damnation can mean eternal, but there are times when the word damnation can mean a temporal thing. And the Christian can receive a temporal damnation. Why? Because he doesn't examine himself. He doesn't. He comes before the Lord's table, and he knows he's got sin in his life, but yet he won't get it right with God. Am I making sense? And we've probably all been there. So, you know, before we get lifted up, let's just realize we're all in the same boat here. And but there is a temporal damnation there. Verse 30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you. So Christians can receive a temporal damnation, and Christians can receive bad health for not discerning. That, you know, it's possible. I know Christians that, I've been saying it a long time, I know Christians that have, their health just went to pieces. But when you look at their Christian life, they're not in church, they're not in fellowship with, you know, a Bible-believing church, they're not in their Bibles, they're not praying. Verse 31 is the verse I want you to really look at. It said, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So we need to judge ourselves. Can I get an amen? I'm not the judge, and you're not the judge. So you can say what you want about me or anyone. I can say what I want about you or anyone. But in the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Because you are not the judge and I'm not the... God is the judge. And God said, what you need to do in order to keep right and have fellowship with me, he said, you need to judge your own sin. And listen, if you are saved and you sin, then I know one thing. The Spirit of God is going to convict you. How many times as a Christian I've done something and the Spirit of God said to me, man, you are wrong. That is sin. How do you get it cleaned up? How do you get it right? Well, it's very simple. One word, confession. Confession. 1 John, I'll turn this 1 John chapter 1. I'll give you the answer for judgment. Is that his confession. 1 John chapter 1. And verse number 9. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. This verse is to the child of God. This confession is not a confession to be saved. As it is in Romans chapter 10, this is a confession for a believer to keep himself right and clean in the sight of God so that God can bless you and not judge you. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, you are going to need that verse. You are going to need that verse every day of your Christian life. Because you mark it down, because I know you as well as I know me, is listen, we mess up every day. We'll probably need that verse several times a day. But I think God's okay with that. Confess it. God says, hey, that's wrong. And you say, God, I know it's wrong. Get on your knees. Find some place to get on your knees. Say, God, I'm sorry. I messed up. I said this. I did this. And God, I'm claiming what you said here. I'm claiming your forgiveness. And your, not only your forgiveness, but I'm also claiming your cleansing. That's important. Hey, man, a cleansing. To get cleansed. Judgment number three. This is the judgment of Israel. Of Israel. You know where we're headed? Well, I talked about the rapture, and that's true. God's going to take us out here with the church. But when God takes us out of here with the church, what's going to happen is Israel is going to be judged of God. Because Israel right now, they are in apostasy. Israel They think of Christ as a false prophet, basically. They don't think of Christ as the Messiah. They are in apostasy as a nation. But what God is going to do, God is going to prepare them for things to come. And he's going to prepare them for things to come, God's things to come. He's going to prepare Israel through one thing, judgment. You know, the Bible calls tribulation, it calls it this, it calls it Jacob's troubles. Tribulation is not only God judging the wicked, and he will, but God is also, he is judging Israel, and basically he is preparing Israel for one thing, and he is getting Israel to receive the Messiah. It's going to take 7 years to do that, and they're going to go through tribulation. But when everything is said and done, Israel is going to receive Christ as the Messiah. Christ is going to come back at the Advent. And the Bible says there that there's going to be a remnant of Jews that will be left. And they'll look up and they'll see the Messiah coming. And they're going to say what they said back in the land of Palestine, 33 AD. They're going to say, "Blessed is Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." But they're going to have to go through a terrible judgment for that. You say, what is God doing? Why is God judging Israel through these things? Because what God is doing is he is rooting out the unbeliever. God is rooting out the unbelieving Jew. And if you look at the Bible, you see that's not something strange. Remember back in Exodus when Moses came out of Egypt and he had the tables of stone and he came down with the tables of stone and Israel was down there. And what were they doing? They were naked and they were worshiping the golden calf. What did Moses tell the Israelites to do? The priests, he told the Levites, he said, "Strap on your swords because we're going to go through the camp and we're going to wipe out all the unbelieving Jews that are worshiping the golden calf." You know what? History repeats itself. And what's happening in tribulation in the book of Revelations is God is rooting out the unbelieving Jew. And he's got a remnant that will be left. That remnant will look up at the end of this thing, and they'll say, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." You know, Paul talked about this in the book of Romans. He talked about it as blindness in part has happened to Israel. I know there's a lot of people out there that say, "Oh, God's all done with the Jew." Wrong. God is not done with the Jew. You know what that teaching is? That's heresy. God is not done with that Jew. As a matter of fact, God is he's just starting back up with that Jew again. He's just starting. Listen, God is done with the Gentiles. I hate to say it. God's done with us. As far as, you know, as a people. You say, will you ever see a nationwide revival take place? Probably not. Not that you couldn't have one in the church, you know, among God's people. But a national revival like the Great Awakening, these things, Gentiles don't want it no more. Because blindness in part, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, then shall all Israel be saved. What's God going to do? God is going to send a deliverer. And guess who that deliverer is? He's one coming on the white stallion. And he's got a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And he's got a name written, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. And by the way, that is all block capital letters. It's all block capital. What does that mean? That means that Jesus Christ is Jehovah. Tell that to your Jehovah Witness friend. Watch him go berserk. Jesus is Jehovah. But that's what it means. And that's what it means according to them. They say, well, Jehovah is, in the Bible, when you see black capital letter, that's Jehovah. Well, there you go. And that black capital letters is the title given to Jesus Christ. Let me take it a step further. Not only is Jesus Jehovah, he is the Jehovah of Jehovahs. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And beside him, there is none else. All right. Number four. I got 10 minutes or so. We have, and some of you are familiar with these things, and that's good. Number four, we have the judgment of nations. The judgment of nations. And you find that in Matthew chapter 25. And you have, where in Matthew 25, you have the sheep nations and you have the goat nations. These are Gentile nations. Let me stress again, these are Gentile nations. You have sheep nations, you have goat nations. And when you look there in the chapter there, you see that these sheep nations they go into eternal life, these Gentile nations, and there's probably going to be 12 of these nations that go into the millennium. And these 12 Gentile nations, the reason why they are sheep nations is because they treated Israel well. Right? You see that in chapter 25 of Matthew. When I was sick, you did what? You visited me. So these Gentile nations, they stood with Israel. Let me repeat that. They stood with Israel. And let me tell you something. If America ever wants to stay a great nation and be blessed, we are going to have to stand with Israel. And you know what burns me up when I see all these people in government, they're talking bad about Israel and anti-Semitic and Israel, you know, the Zionist and just running down Israel and these things. Listen, we need to stand with Israel. You say, why? Because God will bless us if we do it. And those who didn't stand with Israel, they are the goat nations. And those goat nations end up in hellfire. That is the judgment of the nations. And then fifthly, we have a judgment that has to do with believers. And that is the judgment seat of Christ. And this is one that scares me. I'm not easily scared. But when I think about the fact that as a Christian, I am going to stand before Christ as a Christian and be judged for the things that I have done as a Christian, you know what? That scares me. Because I say to myself, have I done anything? You say, well, you're a pastor. You know, you've been to mission field and all these things and that doesn't mean really much. What means much is, what did I do on the mission field for Christ? Did I go to the mission field to do something for myself? To make myself feel good? Or did I do something for Christ? Did I do it for Christ? And listen, the same thing goes for you. What do you do? Do you do it for Christ? Or do you do it, you know, to be seen of men, to be seen of a brother or a sister, or to be seen of the preacher, or to be seen of pat yourself on the back? You know, this judgment that we see here in the judgment seat of Christ, it has to do with rewards. Our rewards as Christians. And listen, we can gain rewards, or we can lose rewards. You know, we're not saved by works. Amen? We're not saved by works. If you think you're saved by works, we'll talk afterwards. But now that we're saved, God has told us we need to work. Right? You know, Pastor Von here talks about, you know, doing different things in ministry and stuff. He's doing that to help us as a church and you as a Christian, so that you have opportunity to do some works for Christ. Right? That's it. And we have to ask ourselves, are we availing in these things? Let me turn you to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. I know some people call the judgment seat of Christ the Bema seat. I don't call it that because, number one, it doesn't mean nothing. The word Bema is a Greek word. I had 3 years of Greek. I know Greek. I can read Greek. It doesn't mean nothing. The Bible calls it the judgment seat of Christ. I'm English. I don't need Greek. I'm English. So you don't need to impress me, and I don't need to impress you. It's the judgment seat of Christ. And 2 Corinthians 5:10 says this. For we must, this is all believers now. It's not like I'm going to get out of it and you're going to have to go, brother. Sorry. I'm going to get out of it. Or you're going to get out of it and I'm going to have to go. That's not what the Bible says. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to take our turns, my brother. And I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know if there's going to be a line there. And, you know, we're going to be in the line. And, okay, Brother Electric, you're up next. And there I stand before the Lord. Brother Electric, what did you do for me while you're down there? I would probably be like Rob Craig. You know, I hope I can say, some Christian involved. Lord, you know, I did this, and you did this, and God can help me do that. You know, God, you know what we did over there, and you know the people got. Yeah, I know. That's good. That's pretty good. I think we can give you some gold. I think we can give you some precious silver, precious stone. I think we got a crown over there for you. Hey, forget it, but we got a crown over there. Yeah, we got a crown for you. Crowns. How many crowns are there in the kingdom now? Five crowns. Every one of us here can win. Five crowns. Well, one crown is for the pastor, the preacher. But at least four. Crown of life, crown of righteousness, crown of glory. You can win these things. You see? This is the judgment seat of Christ. You can win these things. You see, what are you going to do with those things? Let me say, God is preparing the believer for rewards and blessings for the future kingdom. How many believe in a millennium? How many believe in 1,000 years kingdom? God's got something for you to go into that kingdom with. Gold, silver, precious stones. See, God's got it all laid out. He's got it all laid out. All right, number six. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. And actually, these last two judgments that I have here for you basically are together, basically. They happen simultaneously. They happen together. You have in Revelation chapter 20, in verse 11, it says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." You say, what judgment is that? That's the judgment of the unsaved. Right? God's got a judgment for all believers, and God has a final judgment for all unsaved. It's called the white throne judgment. Peter tells us there that the heaven and earth are going to flee away. They're going to burn up and they're going to be gone. There's going to be no earth, no heaven. Which, if that's true, and I believe it is, then all you're going to have is just atmosphere. And that white throne judgment is just what you're going to have is God's. Heaven and earth will be passed away, and God's throne will be sitting there, and God's going to judge every unsaved person. The book of Daniel talks about that, doesn't it? Book of Daniel. Anybody know what chapter it talks about that in? Chapter 7. There's thousands and thousands that ministered to the Lord, but then there's thousands of thousands that stood before the Lord. There's the judgment. You see, those that stand with the Lord to minister, that is the believer. That's you and not me. You say, what are we going to do ministering to the Lord? We're going to be judging ourselves. We're going to judge things at that time. Let me. And this kind of goes in with my last is 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And this is the last judgment, and that is the judgment of angels. Did you know that you and I are going to judge angels? I know Pastor Vaughn has talked about that in his preaching. You and I are going to judge angels. But not only are we going to judge angels, but we're also going to judge something else. Look at verse number 2. 1 Corinthians 6, 2. "Do you not know that the saints so judge..." What's that say? The world. You're not only going to judge angels, but you are also going to judge the world. You are going to judge the unsaved right along with the Lord. And you say, "Where do I get that from?" Daniel chapter 7, where you have thousands and thousands that are ministering to the Lord. That's the white throne judgment. And there you are judging the world. But not only are you judging the world, look at verse number 3. "Know ye not that ye shall judge angels?" Angels. You say, what angels are those? Those are the angels that, as the Bible says, they left their first estate. they left their first estate. And you find that in 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 4. Says, if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto what? Unto judgment. Angels. So you got fallen angels that are in chains as we speak right now in what's called the spirit world. Not the natural world, but the spirit world, which you can't see. But there's a spirit world that's out there. And there are angels that are in chains because they fell. They followed Lucifer, the devil. Right? Isaiah 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Okay, one last, I see my time's up. One last verse. The book of Jude, chapter 6. Jude is the last book before Revelation there. Matter of fact, it's only one chapter. Jude, verse 6. Says, and the angels which kept not their first estate. Anybody got an idea what those angels were? Anybody got an idea? Who are the angels that kept not their first estate? Yeah, but who are these angels? Okay. Let's finish the verse and I'll flip you over to. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. Any bells clicking? He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. All right. I'll show you. Turn to Genesis chapter. I think chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1. It came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. Goliath. And what happened was these angels which left their first estate, they came out, they left the spirit world, came into the natural world, got messing around with the daughters of men, and had offspring, and produced Goliath and the giants. Those angels God has reserved in judgment. That's Jude, the angel which left her first estate. We will be judging those angels and judging the world. White throne judgment. Father, we thank you, God, for the opportunity to open up your word, and we thank you for the truth that we see in your word. And God, I try to, with your help, and give your people, Lord, what you would have me say to them, Lord. And I ask and pray that you open our hearts and minds to your word, Lord. Lord, it's not me, it's not what I say, it's what your word says. Lord, you are always right. Your word is always right. And so God, bless your people now and help us to pray for the things we need to pray about. Jesus' name, amen. Okay, thank you.